Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30.
Good show, Marto and Margo. This is the Catch Up podcast. I say good show. It was
a great show,
and you're about to listen to it. It's the every day. In fact, the Triple M's new app is called Listener. You're listening to it right now, and this is where you can find out what happened on the show. If you're
dangerous
a first time.
Out there, isn't it? I look out the window and I'm just thinking, this is plugger snapping days. You know,
what?
Don't you reckon more people snap a plugger on these days than any other day of the year? Just that moisture just gets
water.
They're not moisture fit.
Where does your brain go?
I don't know.
Seriously, like
I just looked out and saw a person trip over down here. And I went, of course.
Your brain is incredible,
I went up and down the stairs yesterday a few times and Kath nearly fell once and I went, oh.
Have you been waiting all show to talk about snapping pluggers?
No. Oh, well.
What about during he was telling us today, watches a Foxtel show about old people falling over.
Oh, my God. Fox 8. Yeah, there's nothing on TV anymore. At 7:30, that's what are we today? Wednesday. So Tuesday night. There was nothing on, Margo, and they started showing. Remember the old, what was the old show?
Funniest Home Video.
Yeah. But it was about grandmothers.
Oh, no.
Oh, Kath didn't think it was all that funny.
No,
I fell
funny.
Off the lounge.
Oh.
It was just old ladies trying to go 10-pin bowling and following through and all that sort of gear. Oh, God, and missing stairs.
Overly optimistic. And then other old people successfully doing
other
anything.
Old ladies trying to pick them up and they'd tumble over and you have five women running.
You know how you said what goes on in that mind?
Oh, wow.
That's what I haven't laughed like that forever.
Something of its own, isn't it?
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're sitting on the lounge on your own.
Down.
It's a good way to get rid of your wife.
Don't encourage him, Jamie.
Yeah, okay. See ya. We still on air? The busiest person on Australian television. Let's go through it. Was she on Lego Masters the other night?
Lego Masters. She's on the new 100 Christmas special with Andy Lee. The Love Island finale's on tonight. Yeah. What else will it be? What's next, Sophie?
You're reading
Monk?
The news tonight too.
Oh, I know. I'm very available, aren't I?
I mean, if people were struggling with, getting work in lockdown, you are the opposite. You've had more work during the COVID period than anyone, I reckon, Soph.
Yeah, I actually started with no job and ended up with much more, so I was very lucky. I think because they couldn't get international good guests in, they go, who can we ring in?
Best of the local.
So who have we got in the finale tonight, Soph? Who are we going to be seeing?
We've got Jess and Aaron, Zoe and Chris, and Mitch and Tina.
Now, if your bets were on someone to win, who would it be? I mean, you know, don't you? Because has it already been filmed or is it live?
No, they vote live. Everyone thinks it's rigged. But, so we did all alternate endings.
You got a favourite couple?
No, well, I kept checking in the socials and everyone is so passionate. Like, you either love or hate the show and you're obsessed if you watch it. So everyone keeps switching. Like, I can't pick. I couldn't predict who's going to win tonight at all.
And have you loved filming out the back of Byron Bay there? It's a beautiful part of the world.
That's where she's based.
Yeah, they're down at Federal or something, aren't you?
Yeah, that's exactly where we are.
Yeah,
it's been good. I'm trying to lay low because I don't think the Byron Mayor loves us at the moment.
Why? Yeah, What's happened?
What are you doing?
Oh, there was... No, well, nothing. There was... I don't know. It's. I don't even know why I brought that up. It's like a massive headlines.
It's a non-thing.
So there was a bit of disruption before it and then... they just slammed it together last minute and it's been the best season I've been on.
Have you been hanging out with the Hemsworths? Are you a friend of Chris's and Liam's? They just live around the corner there in Byron?
You know what? I'd say I was friends with them, but that's not really true. Like, I know them, but not like that, like where they'd want to hang out with me.
Yeah, what about, did I see on the weekend papers, are you getting married soon?
I've just got to organise it.
She's too busy doing everything else.
I think that's the right time.
I'm not much of an organiser either.
Well, what will it be like, Soph? Will it be a low-key wedding? Are you just going to elope with some few close friends or are you going to go all out and do the big old-fashioned wedding with 100 people?
Nah, I'm going to go just him and I'd be awesome. And then, a beautiful dress because I feel like, the photos are what lasts anyway.
Yeah.
What would be more important to you? Is it the ceremony or the actual church, or is it the reception, the party with your friends? What's bigger on your dial?
Well, we had a big engagement party, and I didn't even see him the whole night. So I think for me the ceremony.
All right, going on that, your marriage will last a long time. That's one of the keys to success.
Is it going to be a...
Don't be together too much.
Is it going to be a reality show? You know how they're doing the Paris in Love?
Oh, sell it. Yes.
You know how they did Paris in Love, the Paris Hilton wedding, and they did all of the prenuptial stuff
sell
leading up to the wedding? Why don't you do a reality show, Soph? I would watch that for sure.
Mm.
I think you'd be the only one.
No.
Otherwise, I'm sure I'd be offered. If not offered, but the, you know, like, nah, no one's asked.
Everybody wants to see Australia's golden princess fall in love and settle down and get married because it's been a long road for you in love and it's so nice to finally see that you got your own.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I can film it and just send it to you.
Yeah, okay, righto.
Okay. A little pervy, but that'll
do. Just invite me and I'll film it for you.
Righto, well, I'm going to start watching Love Island tonight because it's the final.
Well, it's the only one, Marta.
I hate wasting the time beforehand. I just saw watch the last one. You'll do that little
the best bit.
You'll do that little preamble before. Give me 5 minutes of this what's happened so far, won't you?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll recap.
Ah, yeah, see you tonight, 8:30.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Soph.
Thanks for having me.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Well, we keep asking, when are Redcliffe going to sign someone? Who have the Dolphins got? And we don't know. They said November the 1st. Righto, we're into this. We're going to have marquee signings. Dobbo from the Rush Hour, our NRL insider, what is going on in out the peninsula?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, don't panic yet. Okay, there's no need, Marto. Just relax, grab a cup of tea and a biscuit.
They haven't got any, but they got nothing.
They are going to make announcements in the next 3 days that will be very favourable if you're a Dolphin supporter.
Oh.
They are well into negotiations, and you've got to remember there are players throughout the NRL that are coming back to their pre-season training in the next couple of weeks and want to tell their teammates face-to-face they're leaving. They have the right to do that. They've been playing for sides throughout the NRL, and they want to get back and obviously talk to those players because they've had semi-finals, players have been given extra, they're recovering from injuries, and they are well down the track. Now, look, we do know that Brandon Smith has said it's either the Roosters or the Dolphins. I would be highly surprised if he goes to the Roosters. I think you can almost bank on at some point in the next couple of weeks, Brandon Smith from the Melbourne Storm will be touted as a Dolphins player. You've also got, there's a winger by the name of Jermaine Asako. Now, I'm not saying he's a group winner, but I can tell you, I believe that he will end up at the Dolphins at some point in the next couple of weeks as well. Obviously, he's been sought after. There's a lot of wingers at this stage at Brisbane, and he isn't going to be playing a lot of first grade. So he's played first grade before, and if he wants to stay in Brisbane, he'll end up at the Dolphins.
Dobbo, you talked to a lot of managers. The problem is Tino signed his deal with the Gold Coast, signed an extension to the Gold Coast. And they're going to the Dolphins and going, what do you got for me? Then they're just going back to their existing clubs and going, look what I've got, Harry Grant maybe. They're just playing the Dolphins as
against their other teams, as
a bonus.
Okay, so for Harry Grant, let's go quickly. The option was in the club's favour. Now, Harry Grant could stay for $440,000, or Melbourne could take up his offer for $520,000. Melbourne took up that offer. That's why Harry Grant isn't available. Now, the best number nine after him is Brandon Smith, and I believe the Dolphins will get them.
Okay.
I'll tell you with Tino. Tino went to the Gold Coast Titans on a two-year deal. He then built the side. He convinced David Fifita to leave the Broncos. Tino is a loyal bloke, and he felt that he owed the Titans some respect because of the decisions that he made 2 years ago. So he was never going to walk. It was a hard decision. I've got to be honest with you. The Dolphins offered about $100,000 more than what he ended up signing for. I spoke to Tino last night. He said it was all about loyalty for him. He said the Titans believed in me when Melbourne didn't, and he thought he owed them something. So I don't have a big problem with that. I know it's disappointing. Dolphins fans, I will tell you, in the next couple of days, there will be some big-name signings coming, and you will be very happy.
6 o'clock tonight, Rush Hour.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Oh, look at this. Weather, which is just awful.
Can we whinge about the weather? No. Mm. How about we whinge about the traffic, Marto, because you mentioned, thanks to Murray from Hillcrest, about that Gaza Road right-hand lane
inbound
that is blocked. There's also the gateway southbound at Mount Gravatt-Capalabar Road is crawling with the wet weather.
Whinge,
so.
Whinge, whinge.
All right, I'll cross out one of my whinges because it says here, people who drive too slowly, they're overcautious in the wet.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
Well, you need to drive to the conditions. Yes, of course. But yes, no, there's no need to. It's actually probably more dangerous to drive too slow on the highway than it is too fast. It's just as dangerous, would you say?
I'm not going to do that one.
People doing 60 on the highway is pretty dangerous.
Can I get off the road and just say, family secret Santas, I don't like them. In other words, I've got to buy a present for, what is he, 17-year-old nephew who doesn't have a job and he's buying me a present. Who's going to win that one, hey?
Well, don't you have to set the limit?
Yeah, it's $50, but he's going to buy something worth $8, isn't he, because he hasn't got a job.
It's the thought that counts, Marto.
See, I would rather do a Secret Santa because we've got all these nieces and nephews that we've got to buy for, and Corey's like, nah, just give him a voucher for $20 or $30bucks, whereas normally I would like to spend maybe, you know, $50 on them each, and he's like, nah, it's too expensive this Christmas because we've got two extra nieces and nephews. And so I said, well, why don't we do a Secret Santa, and then we could do, you know, like maybe $80 or $100 on one child instead of $20, $30, $40 on eight of them.
But if you get the loser of the family, like I have, you're getting nuts. What about people who put clothes on cats?
Whinge.
I don't like
who does
them.
That?
I don't like people that put clothes
on dogs. Producer Jack's girlfriend bought some clothes home for their cat, and Jack put them straight in the bin. To his credit, he threw them straight in the bin. They didn't even try to put them on. And I just checked. I said, is that a thing? You look up that. Clothes on cats. It's weird.
Clothes on dogs, okay.
Yeah, I'm okay, but I'd never do it to my dog. But I am okay with clothes on dogs, not cats.
We did do it last week. Here were their whinges.
When you go to the coffee shop, now we'll drop names, the wrappers, and in the drive-thru, people are ordering everything but coffee.
Whinge.
When someone asks you for a durry and they got $200 plus Nikes on.
Whinge.
People who don't know the difference between bought and brought.
Whinge.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just on that, between there and there, T-H-E-I-R-T-H-E-R-E, inquiry and inquiry. Inquiry. Don't know the difference. I don't even know the difference.
You don't even know the difference. Don't start something you can't finish.
Someone to inquire and to inquire. Anyway.
What about people who haven't had couples, who haven't had children yet, and they get a dog or a cat and they call it a fur baby?
Whinge.
I don't like them.
So you want to take some calls on a whingy, whiny Wednesday?
Little ones.
Just little whinges. We've got stuff to give away, $100 to spend at Oxley Golf Club. Or if Margot's in the mood, maybe it's margaritas with Margot for the ladies at Hey Chica, Brisbane's hottest new bar.
Mitch from the Gold Coast. What are you whinging about, mate?
It's about the mother-in-law.
Oh, dear. They get a bad rap. Is this a good one or a bad one, Mitch?
Oh, mate, she hasn't worked in years and just constantly whinges about how tired she is.
Good, Mitch. Lovely play. Good luck at Christmas, son, when she finds out about this call.
And what about Oscar from the Valley on the text, Marto? He said, people from the bush, they whinge when it's wet, they whinge when it's dry. If it's that hard, just move to the city, you banjo strummers.
Isn't he a Valley dweller?
Karen from Cornelia.
And another thing, they don't pay any tax, either, those farmers.
Of course, Karen from Cornelia wants to have a whinge, Marto.
She wants a whinge about it.
Well, I agree with her. People who don't know how to merge.
Whinge.
Okay. Jeff from Ribie Island, what's your little whinge?
I hate it when people go into an intersection in their car knowing they can't get through it and then block the traffic for everybody.
Whinge. So true. You know, I hate traffic, Jeff, traffic controllers who overstep their power.
Whinge.
Like what?
Well, they'll hold you up for another 3 seconds just to
lollipop
sure.
Late do the same.
Aren't lollipop ladies, one hit the bonnet of my car one day with a sign.
Oh, what?
Look, that's overstepping their mark.
You probably deserved it, I reckon.
I probably did.
Hey, Jeff, I know it's a little out of your way, but if you get the chance, $100 to spend at the Oxley Golf Club. They've got Top Stroke by Oxley Golf Club, Brisbane's newest VIP mini golf experience. I think you'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. I'm heading to the Gold Coast this weekend.
Oh, beautiful. Meant to be. Enjoy, Jeff. Leah from Slacks Creek. It's a wet old whingy Wednesday. Let it go.
Oh, it is. It's horrible out here. I hate it when people put up a Facebook status that says, oh, I just can't cope, or I'm so over my life right now. And that's all they put up.
Yeah, they're like looking for someone, aren't they?
Yeah, it's so vague. What's going on?
Yeah, they're like, oh, poor me. And then you're like, what's wrong with you? And then they go, oh, well, seeing as though you asked.
Oh. That's called a trap. That's
it's a
Facebook trap.
Yeah. I'm not looking for any attention, but...
Oh, what's up, babe? Leah, hey, love your work.
Yeah, Leah, do you want to come to Margaritas with Margo?
Oh, absolutely.
Next Thursday, can you get a couple of hours off work or the kids or life in general?
Oh, I'm a lady of leisure, so that yes, I can.
Perfect.
Oh, Leah, we'll see you there, Mitchell's babe. Mother-in-law. Are you tired?
See you at Hey Chica. Thanks for your calls.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Big Breakfast thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse, Marta.
What beautiful news came through yesterday about Ash Barty becoming engaged.
Yeah, that's beautiful. The Barty Party, we love our Ash, and it's nice to see her home. She's got a couple of months off,
She's
still some downtime.
3 years in a row joining some really elite company. 3 years in a row as number one female tennis player in the whole world, and she lives out at Brookwater, right next to the golf club, Brookwater Golf Club. And that's where she met Gary,
Nice Gary.
How
is
good
he the youngest
done?
Gary? You know, there's no other younger Gary getting around. What is he, 20?
He's 29. Now, listen, somebody said, what does Gary do? They met at the Brookwater Golf Club, 5 years ago. What does he do there?
Was he playing
I'm
or did he work there?
I'm glad you asked this question because I was going to tell you anyway. Gary Kissick, he's an aspiring professional golfer.
That's right. What's his last name? Kissick.
Kissick, yeah. Mm. And he works as an irrigation technician for the greens at Brookwater Golf Club.
Oh, he keeps all the grass perfect for her to tee off on.
What's an irrigation technician? Is that just... They just do all the trenches water? And joining the. But he's an aspiring. If you're not a. What he does? He's her partner. He'll just be chasing her around for the next few years. And yesterday I saw the photo. Have you seen the photo of them?
I just saw
They're
it.
So
yeah,
cute.
So cute.
He loves Liverpool. He always has a Liverpool football club shirt on. Yep. Had one on. Do you propose with your favourite footy jersey
no.
on? Do you
go propose? No, you don't.
Is there details around how he proposed? Was it a public proposal? Just at home?
No details. I've just seen the photo of her flashing the ring afterwards.
Is it a nice ring?
Yeah,
does
it looks
fit,
right.
Marto?
You asked me the other day about
Did
rings.
Did he get her ring size right?
It looks like it, yeah. And she's so happy. But I love it's like after she won Wimbledon, when she went up into the grandstand, they are the perfect difference in height because she snuggles in. I remember at Wimbledon, she snuggled into his left side of his chest for about 15 seconds. And just they're such a beautiful couple. But.
Why do you bring this up? Did you want to say congratulations in case she's listening?
I do want to say, yeah, hi, Ash. Does she need to become Ash Kissick or does he need to become Gary Barty?
Oh, neither sound good, do they? Neither.
No, he's Gary Barty.
Does she become Gary Ash Barty Kissick?
No.
Kissick? What is it? Kissick.
She's Ash Barty. It rhymes with party.
Party, Barty, Gary. Get on the party, Barty.
Gary Barty.
Nice, Gazza.
Yeah, nice, Gaz. Well done, mate. Punching above your weight, son.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
If you're listening on the Triple M app, well... Thank you. You won't be able to do that for much longer, though. There's a new app. It's called Listener from Triple M. If you download that, and this is one of the benefits, you can listen to the show, The Big Breakfast with Marto and Marga, get all the catch-up podcasts. You can get heaps there from the show. But you also can win tickets to Day 1 of the Ashes, December 8 at the Gabba. Search Triple M Cricket. Put your details in there and wait for us to call your name. Simple as that.
Any long-term listeners to the show, Margo, I realise we're not big fans of Extinction Rebellion and the way they hold up traffic in peak hour and around our city, etc.
Well, they annoy our commuters and our listeners, Marto.
They annoy. They destroy lives. They stop people, halt people from going to the hospital, medical appointments, important jobs, etc. like that. They're selfish in their trying to, what are they, climate change activists, I suppose you'd
describe
them as.
Well, they're trying to get a message across.
Okay. One of the worst of them is that privileged son of rich people, Eric Serge Herbert, his name is. Here's some of his list of his offences.
Among his antics, gluing himself to a pedestrian crossing in Queen Street and to a barricade on Creek Street, locking onto a friend on top of a truck parked across a city intersection and cementing his arms in a metal device wrapped around a car outside Parliament.
Jeez, he's been busy.
Serial pest. We can tick that box.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yesterday, he's been banned. Remember that last time he was banned, not allowed to go in the CBD anywhere
at all.
CBD. And then he said, oh, I'll start doing stuff at South Bank. I think they'd stop that down. So they keep finding him. His parents keep paying the fines. They let him out of the watch house straight away. So yesterday he goes down to the Hunter Valley, one of Australia's largest coal mining areas, hopped on the back of a train and held it up for 5 hours.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, not good. Here's some of him. Of course, it's all about spreading the message to his followers and everything else.
I'm on a coal train that's heading toward burning of my generation.
Got it? I'm on a coal train. It's heading towards burning of my generation.
Yeah.
So he just speaks English by the sound of it.
Well, you always want a clear, concise message. That was one.
Tick another box. Yeah. All right, so then they haul him off and they take him away. He's been on this track before. We can virtually see the watch house. We're at the top of Caxton Street. And, you know, he goes in there, usually overnight, out again. And
How did he get across the border? He wouldn't be vaccinated, would he?
No, but you can go down to New South Wales. It's getting back.
Just can't come back.
So we'll see. Maybe he was going to hide amongst the coal and go, oh, Captain Coal. I don't know. So they got him off the back of the... He was on the actual carriage that contains the coal. They've said, oh, geez, there's an idiot on the back. Oh, it's Serge or Eric, whatever he calls himself. So then he told his followers, it'll be sweet. I'll just go in and out.
Are you prepared to go to jail?
I'm prepared to do whatever it takes because this government is not.
Yeah, he's committed. He is committed.
Prepared to go to jail.
Yeah, he's got that list on him.
Arrested over a dozen times by Queensland police, each time bailed by a magistrate, banned from the Brisbane CBD and fined thousands of dollars. Herbert thought he'd cop a similar punishment for his latest stunt down south.
Sorry, I'd already said all that. Sorry about that. So he'd expected in and out the turnstile that is. Not this time, Eric Serge Herbert. Justice has been served.
Now he's been sentenced to 12 months in prison, where he'll stay for at least 6 months before he can apply for parole.
Mad cheering started any time.
6 months in the big house. He doesn't sound like the type of guy that will go through.
There's large men who are lonely.
Yes.
And they can glue themselves to anything they like.
Sounds slightly feminine.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, didn't we talk about 2 weeks ago and the Bureau of Meteorology said, oh, it looks like a bit of La Nina, because it wasn't until yesterday that they said officially declare La Nina, which is the wet season.
Yeah,
virtually.
Well, I think they were anticipating it, Marto, but last night they officially kicked off that La Nina was here.
I think we were all onto that. and they're saying it's going to keep going for another couple of months.
We've now shifted across into La Nina conditions. Got about a 65% chance of seeing more than our average number of 11 tropical cyclones.
Mm. What are you supposed to do? Like, so therefore, looking ahead, if you've got a business that operates outside, let's say you've got an earth-moving business, you're going, oh, Jesus, things are going to be a bit tough. Do you make projections going, we can't, you know, we can only expect to work 2 or 3 days? We asked a few people at 5:40 this morning, will you be working? Painter, yeah, I've got work inside. Butchers, they're fine. Is there anyone that's getting hurt in the back pocket by all this?
Well, I guess there would be concreters, builders, potentially that work that they've got happening can't happen because of the rain, Marto, and that their workers take time off or the employers say, the day off.
What do you do today, Margo? Let's say you are a builder, you got eight people working for you, and you go, geez, it's looking dark. And because yesterday, told us
five to ten 120 mils.
Ended up being 120 mils. Do you call it off or do you go, well, it looks okay. It looks like on the north side it's going to be okay today. Where do you stop? Where do you start? How's everyone going?
Well, the thing is when we were driving in this morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, it was absolutely teeming down. And so that's mostly when tradies or people on their way to work are on the roads. And so they're like, oh, well, it's raining. No need to go to work today. And then you hear it 7 o'clock in the morning and it's fine.
It sounds easy, doesn't it, for us to go, no, call the day off, head home. But the people, especially subbies, they don't get paid a cracker if they don't turn up to work.
Employees will go
and then the boss will go, well, there's no use turning around. You're getting paid. You may as well go home or you may as well take, God, because it's supposed to hammer down on Friday, tomorrow as well.
Well, they're saying for a couple of months, Marto, potentially up to 6 months. How do businesses businesses that have outdoor work brace themselves for the next 6 months of potential rain?
Actually, let's ask everybody. 133353. What does the rain mean for the for your little forward projection, for your back pocket if you're an independent
contractor? And you rely on the work. You can't afford to take a rainy day off.
Roofers are the busiest people in the in southeast Queensland at the moment. What are they supposed to do?
Well, it's because of the rain that they're busy, but they can't work if it's raining.
Get on the roof.
So how does the rain affect you and your business and your back pocket?
Before you hop out of the ute and start work, if you are starting work or if you've given up for the day, give us a yell. What happens financially and how do you plan for it? What do you do about apprentices?
Leading into Christmas, it's not ideal either, Marto. People need the money. Andrew from Milton, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you going, Margo?
Yeah, good, mate. What does this rain mean for you?
Yeah, well, I've just got a small construction company with three guys and, yeah, we're trying to, got a Queenslander up in the air and trying to duck and weave as far as getting it across the line.
So you've jacked it up. Have you laid the slab or are you just marred under the house?
Yeah, we're slabs down and the boys are just marking out, starting to put the frames up at the moment. And they're saying, oh, you know, chalk lines are getting washed off and, yeah it's a little bit hectic.
Tell me about, are they subbies or permanent employees?
They're permanent, so it's a juggling act. You know, they ring, texting me at 5:30 in the morning going, is it on today or what's happening? So, yeah, you sort of, I'm just getting them to site and we just sort of take it as what we can get out of the day and pull the pin if we have to pull the pin.
What are you paying your workers in comparison to how much work you're getting done in your progress?
Yeah, I look after my boys regardless, you know, but at the end of the day, it stretches the jobs out. It tests your relationship with the owners.
Yep. Well, what promises have you made to get that job done by Christmas? Yeah, okay.
Oh, good question. Yeah.
Hey, how are you going with timber and steel, Andrew? You got a good supply?
It's a nightmare. Yep. I'm shopping around. Unfortunately, if you don't shop around and you've got to go to suppliers that you're not normally using just to see who can get it, keep the jobs progressing, really. And literally, you know, doing laps around Brisbane, just picking stuff up off different suppliers I haven't used before, just to keep the jobs going. Yeah, it's tough.
It's a matter of survival, it seems, at the moment in the construction industry. I mean, we're seeing big companies fall over, Marto, and the little guys are really struggling like Andrew.
Stay on the line, Andrew, too. We'll push on. But stay on the line. I've got to give you a name of a supplier that you may need, mate. A guy who's got plenty of timber.
Morris from Wavell Heights has called 313353. Morris, what are you noticing in your industry? Is the rain a negative thing for you guys?
Yeah, very much so. Same as the first speaker there. Yeah, it's hitting us all in the back pocket.
What industry are you in, Morris?
Civil construction. I just work for a company, just operating plant machinery.
Road building? Laboring. Road or bridges? What are you building?
Yeah, sort of roads, new subdivisions and things like that. So
okay, so your contract's there with the company you're working for, but what about, are your blokes all subbies or are you like Andrew we just spoke to? You've got to keep paying them.
Yeah, well, there's a pocket of subbies and just some casual, a lot of casual, I'm casual, so,
You're a casual, so how is it affecting you in the back pocket, Morris, with this rain and being told not to come into work financially? That would have an impact.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, we're up 4:30 in the morning waiting for the boss to text us, or we text him, and yeah, it's no good, eh?
So did you go into work today, Morris, with all that rain we had this morning?
No, we were already told yesterday afternoon. He sent a text. Don't bother coming in.
But therefore, that means the site you're working on's too wet, so it'll be too wet tomorrow, it'll be too wet Friday, you won't work on the weekend.
You're down a few $100.
$1,000
for the week.
You can cancel the rest of the week and probably next week, I'd say, because where we are is...
Morris. Morris, feeling for you.
Let's send you to the movies tomorrow. Hey, double pass to the new blockbuster Venom. Let There Be Carnage. It starts in cinemas tomorrow.
Unless he's got to go to work.
Well, it doesn't sound like
it. Yeah, I'll go to work over the movies,
Hey, thanks, Morris.
Reece from Flagstone texted on the burner phone, Marto. He said he's a mobile mechanic that works on heavy machinery. Rain is great for him because everyone parks up and decides to get their machine serviced.
Of course they do. That's brilliant.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Can't beat them. Join them, Margo. We've been talking about Christmas and...
You've been online shopping, Marto, in between the songs. Welcome to my world.
I had a look at Trademark. That's it. But we're talking about
Christmas. You were just on Bunnings. You were like, who was What's a Christmas Kiwi with a Santa's hat and a scarf on? I said, the Breewees of Brisbane, Marto, want a Christmas Kiwi.
All right, but who wants a 6 metre high, low voltage greeting Santa? This is that's higher than my house.
I do for the top of my caravan.
$299. It just says Christmas. What does this say? Why
you did ask? What did tell them what you asked me? You said, is it uncouth?
Oh, to get an inflatable Christmas tree for $100.
Oh, you can't do that.
You can't have an inflatable Christmas tree.
When we moved house, I threw out all that Christmas stuff, said we'll start afresh, and then our Christmas comes and we don't have a Christmas tree.
You know I'm a bit dirty on Christmas this year because I've been told I'm not allowed to put up any lights or Christmas trees at home because we go away in the caravan for a few weeks and Corey said no one's going to be home to see it or enjoy it.
I don't know what Corey said apart from I'll say just calm down and just go crazy with the caravan.
I'm going
when you get
crazy
to the caravan,
with the caravan.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Broadwater will be lit up.
How much do you reckon, well, you've been doing it for years, the Christmas light things. I occasionally just go, righto, as I'm going through the checkout at Bunnings, I'll go, yeah, $20 worth of those lights and I'll string them up and I'll be on the fringe of Christmas.
Yes.
I would say you're sort of
I'm a rung or two above you, probably on the edge of Christmas. I might be right in there.
I'm inflatable curious.
I think you've got to invest in a good tree because it lasts quite a few years. Like I paid a good couple $100 for my tree.
Yeah, but that's inside.
But it's 3 metres tall and it's amazing. It's fluffy. It's got all the extra bristles.
Okay. It
like,
the
if you want to do Christmas well
year.
And you want to continue to do it over years because you pack it down, you know, we put it into storage containers in our container at home and then we bring it out again for the next year. So you want it to be good quality so it lasts. And then there's those people, they decorate the whole external of their house with good quality lights and Santas and reindeers and
that's
Christmas trees.
I want to talk about them because I've started to see a couple and I lived where I used to live at Newmarket. There was a guy around the corner. Jamie, you don't live far from
there. Past it all
Daisy
the time.
Street. There's a guy in Daisy Street. I reckon he's pumped 10 grand into it, maybe more. Would that be is it possible?
I think over a period of time they just keep collecting stuff as the years go and they build it up.
Well, he's got Santa on a sleigh on the roof. He's got things.
Incredible. What about their power bills? Could you imagine the power bill? Ooh. A lot of it would be solar, wouldn't it, for sure?
Well, what happens now? And what was sad, I saw he went straight from Halloween, this dude, straight into Christmas. It was down with the Halloween, up with the Christmas, and then you get storms and you get rain and it all gets sogged up and you get wind. I feel sorry.
Well, I think a lot of that outdoor stuff would be waterproof, wouldn't it?
You'd hope so, especially when powers. But do you reckon a lot of that solar? Like if my 6 metre inflatable Santa, if I go and buy that, is that solar powered? I can plug it in.
Surely into the mains.
Can we find out how much people do spend? Does anyone know? Like, someone would have asked one of those light people.
Christmas is an expensive process, just buying presents, you know, for family, for cousins, for nieces and nephews, your own children, your own partners. But then if you're going all out with the decorations as well, it can add up.
They're giving so much joy to people.
It's a joyous occasion.
I'm going to celebrate Christmas lights this year.
Are you going to buy that $300 Bunnings Santa?
No, you know I'm a scab. But I do want to know how much, 133353, we want to know Christmas lights, how much do people spend or how much did you spend or do you know of others on their lights? Let's get a tally going.
All right.
At Boondall, 86 College Way, must be near the Nudgee College. A musical light display you can listen to from your car stereo. Tune into FM 103.3. Show runs for 30 minutes total. Singing gnomes with lots of fun songs from Frozen to Star Wars. Open till 10.
Wow.
My God.
I mean, don't listen to whatever that station was. Listen to 104.5 Triple M.
I think it's their own station.
Oh, it's their own station.
Yeah, you can only hear it within about 10 metres
of
the house.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
Six white boomers. Like, incredible.
They spent a lot of money on that.
Inflatable reindeers and snowmen. All of them seem to be done by 10 p.m. What a night.
John from Chapel Hill, 133353. How much have you spent on Christmas?
$6,000.
Oh, what just recently or build up over a time?
No, that's just recently. That's just inside, you know what I mean? Like
inside.
To do outside, holy geez, these guys probably are spending close to $20,000 or $30,000. Now, Marto, you know what I mean?
Really?
There's a Christmas shop, I think there's one in Virginia. You were telling me there's one on the south side too, Margot.
I got a Christmas
shack.
Yeah,
yeah, just
shack.
There's a Santa shack or whatever it is.
Yeah, the Christmas shack down
you
at
You go
Springwood.
There. I don't know where you got your tree from, Margo, but $200. They're selling their trees for $16.95.
$16.95.
No.
Oh,
$1,695.
Well, John, what? I may have rounded down. It's a habit that I've formed. It's okay. Learned behaviour.
Yeah. Corey's listening.
Yeah, when Corey asks me how much
I'm
it was,
sure he is.
Always knock a little bit off the top. But I think I paid about $500 or $600 for my tree.
One for no reason. John, you've driven back from the sunny coast. Have you seen all those pine trees that are in the culvert next to the highway? They're free.
Are you like National Lampoons? Just go and get your own tree.
Oh, sorry.
I think that's illegal too. I'm not too sure. But
yeah, John, you tell him.
I'm going to check that one because I did it one year and got four for myself and all my neighbours and I didn't get caught.
John, so, can I ask? You spent $6,000 just on stuff for inside. What did you get?
Oh, you go to the Santa Shack. You won't come out any less.
I'm going.
You got to go and have a look. It's
pretty incredible, isn't it?
Is this the first year, John?
Yeah. First year that we're doing this. We got the kids are growing up, but, you know what I mean, it's just something we're going to do.
Kids are growing up and you're just getting into the Santa thing.
Mine's still 16 and the other one's 22, so.
God, it just brings such joy to your face. Like every time I turn my Christmas lights on my tree, it just makes me happy.
Yeah, but when just I see the six grand, I go, $6,000, that doesn't make me all that.
Yeah, well, John's got a good budget on him. Fiona from Pelican Waters, good morning.
How much are you spending, Fiona?
We are spending a lot of money.
Okay.
How?
About $1,000 a year.
$1,000 a year?
For 10 years.
Okay. You've been doing it for 10 years now, Fiona. And what do you do?
We do both sides of our house. And my dad does it a lot because he wants to be like... to see by the moon.
Oh, that's beautiful. Fiona, how old are you?
I'm 10.
And do you help put all the lights up and decorate the Christmas tree?
Yes.
And do you love it? Is it your favourite time of year?
Yeah, it is. It's really fun.
Beautiful.
Oh, good one.
Oh, well, we look forward to...
That's what they do. You invest and you keep investing and then next thing you've got magnificent Christmas lights. Brettie from Marumba Downs...
Yeah, Milo.
Yeah, what have you spent, mate?
Oh, mate, over time, probably 10 years. 10 years, $10,000.
So you put them away at what? When do you pack them away? January.
Oh, Boxing Day.
Okay, and then
1 year it took me till April to get them down.
Dearie me. Now, so when do you put them up? Are they up now?
I was up on Monday afternoon finishing and then it started raining.
Brett, how long does it take you? When do you start putting? Because we had a gentleman called in yesterday, Bo, and he was saying that he starts in October.
I usually wait till it's actually a bit hotter. Then you get to enjoy more beers when you get down at the end of each day.
Love your thinking, Brett.
Appreciate the work.
Just give me the rules. You switch them on at 6 and turn them off at 10?
Oh, mate, we start this Saturday night for our street. Yeah. We have a bit of a party, bit of a shindig. All our recycling for the year goes towards a party.
Oh, I like this,
And then lights go on at 7 o'clock. We invite the whole street down and we don't turn off until at least midnight the first night.
Okay.
And the neighbours are obviously all on board, so they don't mind the street being lit up until that hour. But what about normal nights? Is everyone okay with it being lit up till midnight? Doesn't keep anyone awake?
Yeah, we usually... pull it back for the first couple of weeks till about 10 o'clock, but then that last week before Christmas, she goes nuts and we'll stay on all night.
Hold on. Who goes nuts, Brett? You have too many beers, you go to bed and forget to turn them off, correct?
You're not allowed up on the roof once you've had beers.
No drunk laddering.
Well, then don't have some Brick Lane draft. You can find it at your Dan Murphy's.
Saturday night.
Yeah, coming to you, Brett, but don't get on the roof with it. Thanks for calling.
Cheers, no worries. Have a good one. Marto, don't do it, mate. Once you start, you can't stop.
That's Triple M. The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. And thanks to Chemist Warehouse. You can pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse. Gee, they're good people. Great savings.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's 7:06, The Big Breakfast at Triple M.
The plague goes on, COVID. I thought we were finished with it, Margo.
I'm sick of talking about it.
I know.
I say that all the time, and yet here we are.
There we are. It keeps
talking
on going.
About it.
Confusion over rules keeps on going every day. You turn on the news and you go, oh, my God, listen, just play on.
Is it too much to ask for our politicians to be clear, concise and consistent? Yeah. Seems so.
And show common sense, you mean?
Oh, common sense, yeah. That went out the window.
It's not too much. Well, let's not harp on about that because the thing is somebody needs to explain it. And thank goodness, Channel 9 on the news last night, I watched it and they... Oh, my God. If you want the concise explanation, because I often go, what's going on getting over the border, coming back? And they explained the whole thing. It's so easy to understand, Margot. Yeah, oh, so easy.
Taking a look around the country, if you're entering New South Wales, you don't need to quarantine or get a test unless you've been to an affected area. Then you may need to isolate for 7 days.
A few minutes later.
Entering the ACT, if you've been to a high-risk area, is a little easier. The fully vaccinated won't need to quarantine or test unless symptoms develop. In Victoria, fully vaccinated interstate travellers won't need to test unless they've been to a red zone, but there currently are none. You will, however, need to apply for a permit to enter.
5 minutes later.
It's similar in South Australia, where travellers can freely enter unless they've been even to a low-risk area, including Sydney and Melbourne, in which case they will need a negative PCR test before arriving. Western Australia is yet to set an opening date, but right now, Queensland is classed as a very low-risk jurisdiction, meaning vaccinated travellers can fly in and out without a test. And finally, if you're planning on visiting the Northern Territory from December 20, a negative PCR test is required if you're travelling from a red zone. Crucially, no matter where you're going this Christmas, if you do contract COVID while interstate, you won't be allowed to return to Queensland until you can show a negative result.
Easy. Play on, everybody.
Clear as mud.
You right?
Yeah.
Okay. How good's tourism?
I might just stay here in Brisbane, eh?
I think so. Safest place to be.
I'm going to Cairns this weekend. I'll just go there.
Oh, no. Let me check the handbook.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
Just want to talk about Tim Payne, our former Test captain. I know I'll talk about him again because he's had an absolute roller coaster since he turned up on Friday and tearfully said, I resign as captain. If you've caught me out 4 years ago, I'm gone. Okay, since then, Margo, there's been all sorts of things happen, and you know, he's tearful then. Tasmanian cricket, they're having a fight with Cricket Australia going, you're throwing him under the bus, you bastards, and all that. So that's the fight going on there. He's gone, righto, I've got to get out and play because he still wants to play on this first test in Brizzy on December the 8th.
Deflect, 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 I need to do something.
So he gets out there and plays with Tassie second 11 on Monday, takes six catches behind the stumps. You go, Tim Payne's back, all tremendous. He finally got a bat yesterday. He only made one run, given out with a dodgy LBW decision. Isn't that cricket for you? And then he gets goes to drive home after the game. Somebody hit a six out of the, a six off the bat, hit his car, hit his new Audi. All right, so the ups and downs.
Oh,
the
Audi. Audi. No.
And the ups and downs.
That's probably sponsored.
And then, I don't know, his wife Bonnie's put up with a fair bit, but she's posted for the first time. They've said, here you go, there's the first one for Bonnie. What does that say to you, that scene? So he gets home yesterday after having his car dinged by a cricket ball.
Says to me he needs to do some landscaping. What's all that dirt happening?
All right, so what's happened? It's the kids, and he only has two kids. So there's four kids there on a slip and slide. And quite simply, he's planted turf there, and he was planning on making a pitch, wasn't he? And nothing worse, anyone who's got kids, when they go slip and sliding, that's mud right there.
Oh,
that's
yes.
destroying the turf. And what's in the mini blow-up pool?
The dog.
The dog. Get that dog and its claw. He's come. He's had a terrible day, and he's come home. He's gone, she's gone out. How's your day? And he looks out the window and that's what he's got.
Poor bastard.
Tim. Poor Tim Payne.
Poor Tim Payne.
Marto's thought on sport. Big
Put
breakfast
it away,
at Triple M.
Corey's going round the house, stock his marbles, busy parking orders, time for at home with Parkers.
Marto, it was a massive day in our household yesterday.
Yesterday? Why?
Well, there was three things that happened yesterday. Memphis and Wiley got awarded a certificate on parade for some of their behaviour this year at school, and it was good behaviour. Wiley was super excited. He got the email when we were away camping up at Double Island Point, actually fist pumping the air. I said, what are you doing, mate? He said, oh, I get a Pro Diligentia Award this year, Mum. And I said, oh, well done, mate. It just means that his behaviour has been exemplary on both semesters of report cards.
What a good thing
he
to
was
reward
pretty happy.
Good behaviour.
Yeah, so both of them got that yesterday. Memphis made it into the rep team for netball, which she had been anticipating for the last few weeks. So that was some really exciting news. But Marto, the biggest thing that happened in our household yesterday was that our eldest daughter, Memphis, who is 11, graduated from primary school. I now officially next year will have a daughter in high school, and it's kind of weird because my youngest has just gone into school this year, and now my eldest is going into high school, and it's a weird transition because, you know, I know she's definitely mature enough and she's ready for it. We've done all of the right things with her, so she's super prepared. but you kind of feel like you start, this is where you start to lose control of them a little bit, I guess, in a sense, because, you know, high school's a whole new ball game and she's going to be exposed to a whole new cohort of kids, you know, grade 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they're all so much older and she's the young, impressionable one. So you kind of just hope that you've done, you know, a really good job.
Oh, no, don't panic. Ours is still with us and she's 23. Don't panic. It goes forever. It goes forever.
I know.
Margaret, don't worry.
And I wish I could say that it was a beautiful graduation day, but I wasn't there to witness it because I didn't know it was happening yesterday, Marto. I get all of these emails and communication from the school times four children. Yeah. It's a lot sometimes, and I obviously missed that yesterday was the graduation ceremony at school, which I could have been at.
If you spent less time, perhaps, looking at Black Friday and Instagram, well, Black Friday sales and Instagram,
and reading my emails, yes, I would have read it.
You may be onto it.
I missed it, though. And I said to Memphis yesterday afternoon, because I had all of these mums.
How was your day?
They said, no, here's a photo of your daughter getting her graduation certificate. Here's a video of Memphis walking across the stage accepting her house captain shield because their house won the shield for the year, the sports shield for the year. And there I was feeling empty and alone and guilty as a mother because I'm like, I'm not there. And my girlfriend was like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm getting a facial.
The new Matt Doran.
And I said to Memphis when I get home, I said, babe, why didn't you tell me that you had your graduation presentation? She goes, oh, I don't know. I thought I did tell you, but it doesn't matter anyway. I didn't care that you weren't there. And I was like, oh, but all the other mums were there.
You would have been like, but how good's me face?
I've not got that glow about me. But she said, no, it doesn't matter, Mum. I don't really care. And I said, well, I care because you're great. She said, it's just another day. And I was like, well, that's a really nice perspective to put it in. Silver linings. I was like, exactly. Silver linings. Who needs mum guilt when you got a kid that doesn't care whether you're there or not anyway?
Oh, that's what she says.
But anyway, I felt terribly bad. I was like, here I was getting a facial whilst my daughter was graduating from primary school.
She would have been sobbing.
Mother of the year. Guess who was there, though? Oh, Corey was there, of course.
Ah, that's all right.
He's a good bloke.
He's a good bloke.
19 past 8. Big breakfast, Triple M.